Wednesday, September 24, 2025. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado, and we are back for another week of talking sports with a dose of common sense. Hey, happy Wednesday to you. Hope you had a good weekend. Hope your week is going well, and that you, your family, your friends, you're all staying strong, and you're all staying healthy right now. And honestly, is there a better time of year sports-wide than right now? Because if there is, I don't know what it is. It is now officially the season of autumn. We have college football going. We have the NFL going. We have Major League Baseball, which is really starting to heat up. Because don't look now, but those wildcard games are literally just 1 week away. And we have teams trying to play their way in. And we have teams trying to play their way out. Those wildcard games are already coming next Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And I'll be honest, this season is not going as expected. Because going into the season, it was expected by most of the experts, hey, we're going to see Yankees versus Dodgers, right? Well, that hasn't happened exactly. Don't get me wrong, they're both still in the hunt. But it hasn't been as easy as expected. Over the American League, it is the Toronto Blue Jays that became the first American League team to clinch a playoff spot with Vlad Guerrero and George Springer leading the way. We have those Seattle Mariners with Cal Raleigh, big dumper, just playing red hot down the stretch. But what is crazy is that for as good as the Mariners have been playing, they can't seem to fully pull away from those pesky Houston Astros. And yes, we may all hate them, but the Astros are going to keep hanging in there. Although they may need to get healthy if they're really going to make the postseason, because it's going to be tight. Speaking of the New York Yankees, they are still in the hunt. Aaron Judge, he's probably going to go win that American League MVP. The Cleveland Guardians might be the hottest team in the AL right now, but can they carry that into the postseason? Because we have seen hot teams in the regular season not be able to sustain that when they reach the playoffs. And by the way, the Guardians are still chasing the American Central leading Detroit Tigers, but the Tigers, they're kind of struggling a little bit with their pitching rotation. Yes, they still have Tarek Skubal, who is probably having the best year of his career, but Detroit's going to have to get healthy for the playoffs. And could a team like the Boston Red Sox, or maybe even the Texas Rangers, close the season on a hot streak and make a bit of a run themselves? And then, over in the American League, yes, the Dodgers are still going to try to win the whole thing. And with that roster, of course, they're going to be in the mix. But the hottest team in the entire league is the Milwaukee Brewers, who were the first team to clinch a postseason slot this season. But we also know that Milwaukee has a bit of a history that they struggle when they get there. Can they change that this year? The Philadelphia Phillies have already clinched a postseason berth by winning the NL East, and Kyle Schwarber, he's playing as good as he ever has. The Phillies are very dangerous. The Chicago Cubs will be making their first playoff visit since 2018, but my concern for the Cubs is they aren't always the most consistent. They'll beat a good team, they'll lose to a bad team. Not sure what to make of them. And then we have the San Diego Padres, the New York Mets, the Cincinnati Reds, and the Arizona Diamondbacks all battling for a wildcard spot. And I know the playoffs don't technically begin until next week, but there is basically playoff baseball being played right now every single night. Major League Baseball is actually finally interesting. And I'll be honest, as long as there isn't college football or the NFL, then yeah, I'll watch it. Hey, today on the Dose, I know that I told you last week I was chasing a very interesting guest for this week. Well, I ran that guest down, and he was great, but then we had some technical difficulties, and I don't want to bring you that interview until it is as good as it can be, so be patient on that. But today, we are going to be recapping a wild weekend in both the NFL and college football. You know, sometimes we think we're figuring some teams out, and then we have a weekend like this past week, and we realize, yeah, we might not know anything yet. And I know that we've all been watching the NFL and college football and Major League Baseball, but don't forget that the WNBA playoffs are rolling along too. We will check in on how they are going and let you know what to expect going forward. And then one college football team is really, really struggling right now. Could they be on a historical pace to underachieve? Our Daily Dose Top 5, we'll look at that in just a few moments. But first, let's start off in college basketball, of all places, because Bruce Pearl has announced that he will be stepping down as the men's basketball coach at Auburn and is going to move into an ambassador's role in the athletic department as a special assistant to the athletic director. That is what the school announced on Monday. Stephen Pearl, Bruce's son, and the Tigers' associate head coach, has received a 5-year contract to be the program's new head coach. But Bruce Pearl is 65. He's coming off of a season in which he guided Auburn to their second ever Final Four. Now, the timing of this is a little weird to me. Why not do it last spring? Maybe Bruce was really thinking about it. Maybe he was really going through it, trying to figure out what he wanted to do. Oh, or maybe he wanted to do it at the last second so he could get his son hired. Got it. The Tigers earned the number one overall seed in the NCAA men's tournament last year after winning the SEC regular season championship. They racked up 32 wins before they fell to Florida in the national semifinal. But Pearl has been the head coach at Auburn for 11 years. He led the Tigers to 6 NCAA tournament appearances and both of the program's Final Four runs. He went 246 and 125 at Auburn, but only 232 of those games are recognized because of NCAA infractions, and they told us how to pretend games back in 2016 and 17 didn't happen. But hey, Bruce Pearl has been a coach wherever he's been that brings a lot of excitement to whatever program he's coaching at. He took Auburn, Tennessee, and Milwaukee to the tournament. Hey, I don't care how you cut it. It's pretty impressive. And yes, I will always remember him for ratting out Illinois when he was an assistant at Iowa. But Bruce Pearl did do other stuff too. Pretty good stuff. It was a weird week in the NFL this past weekend. We're going to talk more about that later. But we also saw a number of injuries to some big name players this week too. The San Francisco 49ers have now lost pass rusher Joey Bosa for the year with a torn right ACL. The Los Angeles Chargers lost running back Najee Harris with a blown Achilles for the year. The Arizona Cardinals lost running back James Conner for the season with a right foot injury. And the Dallas Cowboys are going to be without star wide receiver CeeDee Lamb at least for a few weeks with an ugly high ankle sprain that he sustained on Sunday. But one player that we worried might be hurt this year is Miami Dolphins quarterback Tua Tagovailoa. But nope, Tua is just fine. Which actually might not be the news that Dolphins fans are hoping for. Because with 3 games under their belt, the Dolphins have yet to win a game. And Tua hasn't been very good. He has 5 touchdowns, but he also has 5 turnovers. Well, Fins fans, I actually have some worse news for you. Because as Daily Dose I-Team President Big Rob has uncovered, do you realize that Tua's contract with the Dolphins, it seriously might be the worst in the NFL. And this is coming from a guy whose team is currently still paying Russell Wilson $32 million this year to suck for the New York Giants and get benched. Oh, and by the way, my Denver Broncos paid him $53 million last year to lose games for the Steelers. Well, check out the breakdown on Tua's contract. Because here is what Tua is still owed from the Dolphins. This year, $39 million. Steep, but starting quarterback, okay. Next year, $56 million. Okay, that hurts. 2027, $53 million. Okay, that hurts a lot. Oh, and then in 2028, the Dolphins owe Tua $65 million. Here's the worst news. If the Dolphins cut Tua, it will cost them $79.2 million in dead cap space. Miami, I've got bad news for you. You better get that guy wrapped in bubble wrap because you're paying him either way. Why Miami gave Tua that contract, I will never know. And everyone's going to blame Tua because he's terrible or whatever. But that GM is the one who deserves to get hit in the head, Not Tua. He didn't give himself a contract. You gave it to him willingly. Just dumb. Finally, the WNBA playoffs are going right now, and they are now down to the semifinals. And while some of the attention this year has been on the play on the floor, the Daily Dose has also been keeping an eye on that whole, you know, sex toy count where we're seeing these animals throwing sex toys out on the court. But it's interesting because we have yet to see a sex toy thrown onto the court in the playoffs just yet. I mean, security must really be cracking down. They are apparently searching people very thoroughly as they enter the arenas to make sure that they don't have another embarrassing incident. And I mean, it isn't like people are going to try to hide those sex toys to sneak them in, right? I mean, where in the world would they even try to hide them, right?
Look, man, I ain't falling for no banana in my tailpipe.
Okay, but enough of that silly stuff. Let's get to the actual WNBA playoff games where we have seen some really impressive performances so far. So NFL Week 3 is now in the books. And it's funny because, you know, every week in the NFL, we try to figure out who teams really are. And we've already talked this season about some of the overreactions that we're seeing. Well, in Week 3, the NFL had some shakeups because there are some things that we thought we knew and now we're not so sure. I'll show you what I mean. You know, we thought the Green Bay Packers were looking like a true title contender. Through the first 2 weeks, they had whooped the Detroit Lions and the Washington Commanders. Hey, those are both playoff teams from last year. So in Week 3, the Packers went to Cleveland to face the crappy Browns who haven't even won a game yet. So Jordan Love apparently knew I was watching, and he absolutely sucked. Running back Josh Jacobs had 30 yards on 16 carries, and somehow the Browns block a late field goal and then make one of their own and upset the Packers 13-10. The Packers were a 7.5-point favorite. That's big in the NFL. And the Packers are supposed to be a big dog, right? Yeah, but now we're not quite as sure. We thought we knew. Now I don't know. The Indianapolis Colts are another team that it seems everyone got wrong. Going into the season, they benched quarterback Anthony Richardson for Daniel Jones. Honestly, we kind of thought they might be tanking. Yet, turns out they might have known what they were doing. Daniel Jones, it seems like he just needed to get away from the New York Giants because the Colts are now 3-0 after beating the Miami Dolphins, the Denver Broncos, and the Tennessee Titans. No, it's not exactly murderer's row, and they probably should have lost to Denver. But hey, they've won every week. More impressive, though, is the play of Daniel Jones because he's now already thrown for over 800 yards. He has 3 touchdowns, but he has 0 interceptions. We thought we knew who the Colts were. Now I'm not so sure. We thought we knew who the Chicago Bears were because after collapsing in Week 1 against the Minnesota Vikings, the Bears looked like they all but quit last week, and they got blown out by the Detroit Lions. So in Week 3, they host the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, the Cowboys aren't great, but they're pretty scrappy, and they've put up big offensive numbers. The Bears, they might be going 0-3. Okay, so please explain why the Bears jumped all over Dallas. And Bears quarterback Caleb Williams probably had the best game of his career. He threw for 298 yards and 4 touchdowns and painted his nails on the sideline. And the Bears throttled the Cowboys 31-14. So is this good Bears? Was this bad Cowboys? I don't know what to think now. Another mystery we've got to still figure out. The Atlanta Falcons have been another tough team to figure out. Because now that they have benched quarterback Kirk Cousins and put all their chips into the Michael Penix basket, we thought Atlanta might be able to contend for the NFC South. That division isn't very good. They could win it. They were in it last year. So in Week 1, we're all looking like geniuses. Yes, Atlanta lost, but they took division rival Tampa Bay to the wire. Okay, so in Week 2, they blow out the Minnesota Vikings. And in Week 3, Atlanta gets to play the crappy Carolina Panthers. Well, this will be a piece of cake. Atlanta is going to be in a dogfight in that NFC South division. And then the game started. And Carolina Panthers quarterback Bryce Young completely outplayed Penix. And the Panthers blew the Falcons out 30-0. So now the Falcons are what? A playoff contender? The worst team in the league? I don't know. I'm not really sure. Okay, so I've already flipped back and forth a few times on the Minnesota Vikings this year because the season is starting. They have a ton of offensive weapons. The defense is pretty stout. They just need quarterback J.J. McCarthy to not be terrible. And if so, Minnesota is going to be a playoff contender. So they start the season with the Bears. They're down 17-6. They look awful. I'm checking out. This team might be in trouble. McCarthy doesn't look very good. Then suddenly the Vikings get hot. They run off 21 straight points. They win 27-24. Okay, so they are the team we thought they were. They're okay. They'll be a contender. The Vikings will be fine. And then they play Atlanta, like I mentioned before, and the Falcons blow them out. And McCarthy looks like an absolute dumpster fire. And he leaves with an injury. Okay, so the Vikings are done. And then on Sunday, they beat the devil out of the Cincinnati Bengals 48-10 with Carson Wentz starting at quarterback. Huh? I know the Bengals are banged up. They don't have Joe Burrow. 48-10? What is going on? I don't know what to think. Only thing I can figure out is that for some reason, between Sam Darnold and Carson Wentz, Minnesota is like heaven for ginger quarterbacks. I don't get it. I don't understand how this works. Finally, we have the confusing case of the Houston Texans. A playoff team the past two seasons, and they play in that terrible division, the AFC South. So hey, they should be able to get back to the playoffs again this year. Remember quarterback CJ Stroud's rookie year? He had 23 touchdowns. He had 5 interceptions. The Texans went from 3-13 to 10-7 with Stroud as a rookie and made the playoffs. They made it again last year. They beat the Chargers last year, even though Stroud wasn't quite as good. And now there's this year. And Stroud has been awful. He has just 2 touchdowns. He has 3 interceptions, and the Texans are now 0-3 with losses to the Rams, respectable, the Buccaneers, somewhat respectable, and the Jaguars, zero respect whatsoever. Now, it isn't all Stroud's fault, because the Texans' offensive line is terrible. They have 0 run game. And CJ Stroud has already been sacked 8 times and hit 19 times in just 3 games. I mean, you can blame Stroud for this start with the Texans, but it's not all his fault. The Houston Texans might be in some serious trouble. Hey, in the NFL, anything can happen on any given Sunday. We know that. There's too much talent in that league. But now we have to try to figure out, was week 3 just a weird aberration this year? Or was it a sign of some things to come for some of these teams? And these things could be coming a little bit later this season. Hey, remember that you should be stopping by DailyDoseSports.com every week to see what new things we have going on over there. We have links to the podcast, as well as new articles that go up every week. They do have more of a local flavor. If you checked it out this week, you know I talked about the Denver Broncos and why they are struggling right now. So you might want to head over there and check that out. Remember, you can always email the podcast at DailyDoseSports@gmail.com. We do hear from a few listeners, so if it's good, and I've shared with a few people close to the podcast this week, some of it is not good. I've had some wild emails just recently, but it is always good to hear from you. And remember, you can pick up Daily Dose gear over there, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts, baseball caps. You can find it all over at DailyDoseSports.com. Make sure you're stopping by. You know, things aren't quite as confusing in college football, because college football, it's not exactly an any given Saturday scenario. Yes, we see some surprises, but let's be honest. LSU can play Southeast Louisiana 100 times, and that score is going to be 56-10 pretty much every single time. So it's not quite the same in college, but we did still see a few surprises in college football this past week that kind of have us questioning ourselves. And by the way, I know Mike Gundy is now out at Oklahoma State. I'm telling you right now, get ready for a few more head coaches to go down very, very soon. I'm looking right at you, Gainesville. Might be happening sooner than we expected. But we did have a few confusing college football teams to look at this past week, too. Because, you know, I really liked the Illinois Fighting Illini going into this season. I picked them to be a surprise and go to the college football playoff. Again, they returned a number of starters. And head coach Brett Bielema, yes, he looks like the elderly version of Butthead.
Hey, baby. Come to Butthead.
But his teams are usually pretty tough up front. Okay, so the Illini blew out three pretty bad opponents to start the year. I'm feeling pretty good about my pick. And then this past week, they faced Indiana. And Illinois got boat raced 63-10. I'm not even complaining that Illinois lost. I could see them losing a game or two. But 63-10? And next up is USC. I don't have the first idea what to expect in that game now. I don't know what to expect from Illinois in general now. 63-10. I could see you losing, but not losing like that. So who is Illinois really? I don't know. The Nebraska Cornhuskers look like they might be on the verge of breaking back into the national landscape. Head coach Matt Rhule is always tough in year three. He's got quarterback Dylan Raiola and a pretty decent defense. Or so we thought. The Cornhuskers blew out Cincinnati, Akron, okay, and Houston Baptist. And then on Saturday, they hosted Michigan. Hey, I think Michigan is okay. I don't think they're great. But Michigan went into Lincoln and beat up the Huskers. And I know the final score was 30-27, but the Huskers scored a Hail Mary prayer of a touchdown going into halftime. And then they got a garbage time touchdown very late in the game with like less than a minute to play. Hey, Michigan controlled this game throughout in your backyard. And that Nebraska defense, they look particularly soft and squishy. Now, the Huskers have a manageable schedule, but now I'm not so sure it matters because they look very soft up front defensively yet again. We thought it might improve. Now I'm not so sure. The Oklahoma Sooners have been way better than anyone expected this year, as quarterback John Mateer has at times this year looked like the best quarterback in the country. That might sound crazy. Go look up his numbers. He's been impressive. The Sooners have now beaten number 15 Michigan, and this past week, they beat number 22 Auburn. Hey, is Oklahoma back? It kind of looks like it. And then it was announced yesterday that Mateer has a hand injury that is going to require surgery. He's going to be out for a while. Oh, and by the way, after Oklahoma plays Kent State next week, the schedule goes like this: Texas, South Carolina, Ole Miss, Tennessee, Alabama, and Missouri to close out the regular season. So as good as you feel right now, Sooner Nation, I guess we'll see. Good luck is what I'm saying. And the last team that has me a little bit confused is those Utah Utes. Because Utah went just 5-7 last year. They had so many injuries, and they lost like 5 one-score games. But hey, Kyle Whittingham can coach. And the Utes might be a team to keep an eye on this year. They blew out UCLA. They blew out Cal Poly. They blew out Wyoming. And then they hosted Texas Tech this past week. Now, it didn't surprise me that Tech beat Utah. We know the amount of money that Tech is putting into their program. But it did surprise me that Texas Tech out-physicaled Utah. They kind of beat him up. Remember, Kyle Whittingham said this is his best offensive line that he's ever had. Really? Texas Tech won the game 34-10, and it was closer than that. I'm not saying that. It was closer than that. But Texas Tech also had to do it with their backup quarterback for most of the day. That was surprising. Hey, it isn't uncommon to see college football teams slip up. These are 18, 19-year-old kids. But some of these teams, they're a little bit confusing. It's going to be a challenge to try to figure out who so many of these teams truly are. And remember, conference play is now really getting rolling. So I expect to see a few more surprises over the next few weeks because they are most likely coming. Hey, this week, if you don't have anything on Saturday, keep it that way. Stay in front of your TV. because college football is going to be in full effect. There are some really sneaky good games between teams that maybe aren't ranked, but we also have 21 USC at 23 Illinois, number 4 LSU at number 13 Ole Miss, number 6 Oregon at number 3 Penn State, and number 17 Alabama at number 5 Georgia. Don't make any plans on Saturday. Be sure you're sitting on your couch with that TV on, because it is going to be a glorious weekend of college football. Now, as we do so many weeks here at the Daily Dose, we need to get over to our Daily Dose Top 5. Kids, the Clemson Tigers are not very good. Remember that Clemson was the number 4 team preseason in the country? Hey, they have quarterback Cade Klubnik. They have most of their defense coming back. They have all the ingredients. They should be a contender. They have a great head coach in Dabo Swinney. He's won titles. Okay, so when they lost their opener 17-10 to LSU, we were like, no big deal. They'll still rally. And then they were trailing Troy 16-0 in their second game, but maybe they were just shaking off the LSU game. They came back to win. A little weird, but they came back to win. And then they lose a tough game to unranked Georgia Tech. And now this past week, Clemson got manhandled by Syracuse at home, 34-21. And that was with Syracuse's backup quarterback, no less. But Clemson has no playmakers. Their defense is below average. And now the Tigers go to Chapel Hill to play Bill Belichick and his girlfriend. Hey, there's a strong chance nobody wins that game. And here's the bad news for Clemson. Dabo Swinney isn't going anywhere. You might not like it, but he's not. With the way his contract is written, you will owe him a full $60 million. I don't know if I see that happening, to go out and hire a maybe better coach. But Clemson, they sure don't look like they're riding this ship anytime soon. And if things continue to go as they are, this is going to be one of the biggest collapses by a preseason ranked team in history. Today, our Daily Dose Top 5 is counting down 5 of the biggest disappointments in college football history that started this season ranked. Could Clemson eventually be on this list? We're going to see how they stack up. We start off at number 5, and it was just a few years ago that Texas A&M seemed poised to make a big leap forward into the public consciousness as Jimbo Fisher was entering his 5th year as the head coach of the Aggies. A&M had gone 8-4 the previous season. Not great, but solid. But what had everyone so excited as they headed into the 2022 season was the fact that Jimbo Fisher had the top recruiting class in the country, and those new additions, they were expected to be a big upgrade. Yes, they were unproven, but they were talented. As you probably know, that did not end up being the case. Quarterback Haynes King was an early Heisman hopeful, and following a week 1 win over Sam Houston, the Aggies were ranked number 6 in the country. And then A&M was stunned by Appalachian State at home. Well, that's not good. Okay, so they answered with 2 wins over Miami and over Arkansas. Both ranked opponents, I might add. Okay, maybe Appalachian State was just a weird glitch. Maybe they were better than expected. Maybe A&M took them for granted. Yeah, and then A&M lost 6 games in a row. The Aggies would finish just 5-7, and Jimbo Fisher would be fired the following season. Hey, College Station was hopeful in 2022. It did not go well. They were ranked number 6, and A&M comes in today at number 5. We move on to number 4, and we go back to 1984, where the Pitt Panthers actually used to be good. I know that sounds crazy now, but it's true. Remember, Pitt actually won a national title back in 76, and after that win, they started a run where we would see Pitt appear in bowl games for 9 years in a row. Well, in 84, Pitt was ranked number 3 in the AP poll after going 8-3 in 83. And in 83, that was the year after Dan Marino had gone to the NFL, and they still went 8-3. So Pitt is just good. This is just who they are. And in 84, they had offensive guard Bill Frelich, who ended up being a phenomenal NFL player, and defensive end Chris Dolman, who ended up going to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So it was widely expected. Pitt is just good every year. This is just who they are. However, in 84, yeah, Pitt didn't live up to those expectations. They lost to an unranked BYU squad in week one, which dropped them to number 17. And that was actually the start of a four-game losing streak. They never recovered. Pitt went 3-7-1, including a loss to Bruce Arians and the Temple Owls. Yeah, Pitt wasn't very good in 84. They come in today at number four. Moving on to number three. I know that Alabama fans are just used to contending for a title every year, but that hasn't actually always been the case. Because Mike Dubose led Alabama to a 4-7 record when he coached Alabama for the first time in 97. But then they went 7-5 the following year. They went 10-2 and narrowly lost to Michigan and a quarterback by the name of Tom Brady in the Orange Bowl in 1999. Well, in 2000, the Crimson Tide were sitting at number three in the polls when they kicked off the year. The Tide had Andrew Zhao at quarterback. They had Ahmad Galloway in the backfield. So they opened the season against unranked UCLA and a quarterback named Corey Paus and a running back named Deshaun Foster, who just got fired at UCLA, and a wide receiver named Freddie Mitchell lit up the Tide 35-24. Okay, so Alabama bounced back. They beat Vanderbilt. But then they lost to Southern Miss in week three, 21-0. When everything was said and done, Alabama went just 3-8, and Mike Dubose was forced to resign in disgrace at the end of the season because the Tide had lost five in a row. The 2000 Alabama team started the season number three. They finished the year with just three wins, and they come in today, you guessed it, at number three. We have to go back a ways for our number two entry, though, because back in 1963, yes, there was football back then, the Ole Miss Rebels finished the regular season with a 7-0-2 record while finishing as SEC champions, and then they lost to Alabama in the Sugar Bowl. So they were ranked number seven in the final poll. And in 64, they were returning quarterback Jim Weatherly and a running back named Mike Dennis, plus most of their starting defense. So the Ole Miss Rebels were actually the preseason number one in 64. Yeah, and then the game started. Ole Miss cruised to a victory over Memphis State in week one. They won 30-0. Hey, they're legit. And then they lost to unranked Kentucky in week two. And then they lost to unranked Florida. They tied unranked Vandy. And then they lost to number nine LSU. And they ended the season by losing back-to-back games to unranked opponents. They lost to Mississippi State. And then somehow, they made it to the Blue Bonnet Bowl and they lost to Tulsa. After opening the season at number one, the Ole Miss Rebels would go just 5-5-1. Somehow they still made it to a bowl game. I don't know how. There were only nine total bowl games back then. Ole Miss got one, and they lost that too. And the 1964 Ole Miss Rebels come in today at number two. So we reached the number one team that started the season ranked and proved to be a bitter disappointment. And we go back to 2012. Where Lane Kiffin was in his third year as the coach at USC, and this was also the first year they were eligible for a bowl during his tenure, because remember those sanctions from Reggie Bush? Yeah. And expectations were super high because the Trojans had finished the 2011 season with a 10-2 record. I mean, USC was stacked on paper. They had quarterback Matt Barkley. They had receivers Robert Woods, Nelson Aguilar, and Marquise Lee, as well as a top-ranked defense. USC entered the season ranked as the number one team in the country, and they got off to a 2-0 start. But then they were upset by Stanford in week three. Okay, well, they bounced back. They rolled off four straight wins. And then we saw things fall apart in the second half of the season because USC lost five of their final six games and ultimately finished unranked at 7-6. Lane Kiffin would be fired the following season on the airport tarmac in Tempe, Arizona, after the Trojans gave up 62 points to Arizona State. In 2012, USC actually became just the second team in college football history to start the season at number one and not even be ranked when the final polls were released. They joined that 64 Ole Miss team. Now, realistically, it's not any of these teams' fault that they drop so hard. The mistake is actually by the media and the fans and the voters that elevate these teams to such high status before they've even played a game, which is why I don't believe college football polls should count for anything until at least October 1st. Because as the Clemson Tigers are showing us this year, we just don't really know how teams are until we see something on the field. Hey, next week on The Dose, like I said, I am chasing something a little bit different for you. I am chasing a guest that has a very interesting story and is currently doing some very interesting work in the world of sports. Trust me, you will not want to miss it. So make sure you check out The Dose next week and make sure you let a friend know to do the same. Hey, I want to say thank you to each and every one of you for listening to The Daily Dose every week. Thank you for the emails. Thank you for the texts. Thank you for the tweets. But more than anything, thank you for sharing the show, for sharing the videos, and for sharing the articles with someone that you know. We absolutely love it when you do that. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all next Wednesday. Have a great week, everybody.
Look, man, I ain't falling for no banana in my tailpipe.